ask you a question, though, and it's this question. When you introduce yourself to someone, what do you say? And for you, that may depend on who you're talking to. Sometimes it's just enough to give them your name, right? But other people, or if there's a group of people, you might give them your name, where you're from, maybe even some things about your family. You might even get crazy and start showing pictures and photos and all those kind of things. You might even talk about the career or occupation that you have. How do you introduce yourself? Let me get you to think about this. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. So the question is, who do you think you are? I say that in a good way. Right, John? Who do you think you are? Well, this is the last message I'm going to share with you in this series called the New Year, New You. And I want us to look at know who you are. Know who you are. Because, like I said, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. Here's the thing. The Bible tells us that if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, here's the truth. You've been given a new identity. There's actually a new you spiritually. And that's true of your life. In other words, there should be no identity crisis in the life of a Christian. There shouldn't be an identity crisis in the life of the church or in the greater body of Christ, because we know who we are. The Bible tells us. God lets us know who we are. He says, for example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The truth is, the scriptures tell us that if you are in Christ Jesus, if you're a Christian, if you've turned from your sins and received the risen Jesus Christ into your life, the Bible says you are a new creation. Not that you might be, but that you are. And as a new creation, you've been given a new life, and you have new God-given purposes. You have a God-given agenda and plan for your life. So God tells us in the Bible so many times what our new identity is in Christ Jesus. And it's amazing. Let me just share with you just a few. One is, you're a child of God. You're a friend of Jesus. You're born of God. You've been adopted by God. All these are based on scriptures. You're a joint heir with Christ. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've been given great promises of God. You're redeemed, forgiven. You have eternal life. You died with Christ to the power of sin. You're free from condemnation. You've received the Holy Spirit. You've been given the mind of Christ. You've been crucified with Christ. You are, yes, a new creation, but also that you're reconciled to God. You're a saint. You have direct access to God. You're already a citizen of heaven. You're chosen by God. You're salt and light of the earth. You're chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You're called to do good works in Christ Jesus. You're commissioned to make disciples. You're to fulfill the great commandment. We're going to look at this one today. You're an ambassador for God. You're God's masterpiece. You're connected to the true vine. You're a member of Christ's body. You've been made alive with Christ. I look at those things, and there's many, many more. That's worth the price of admission today. Whatever you paid to come in here for your general admission seat, that was worth the price of it. Just knowing and being reminded of our new identity in Christ. How many of you have seen a caterpillar before? What do caterpillars do? John, do they have caterpillars in Iowa? None. Okay. No caterpillars there. How many of you have seen a caterpillar? Most of us have, right? A caterpillar actually becomes a new creation, right? What does a caterpillar become? We're going to get this. A butterfly. Wouldn't it be sad to see a butterfly crawling around like a caterpillar? And the butterfly would have to be sick. It's just not right, because what is a butterfly supposed to do? It's supposed to fly. So here's the thing. In Christ Jesus, as a new creation, God has made you to soar. He's made us as his people, the church, to soar in high places, to accomplish great things for him. And one of the amazing things which God has called every one of us, this new you in Christ Jesus, you are an ambassador sent by God. Ambassador. We're familiar with this term. We're familiar with it. We know what an ambassador is and what an ambassador does. But it's not really a word that, I mean, at least I don't think about that word ambassador very much. It's not really a word that I use much in everyday language. But the Bible says we're an ambassador sent by God. That's just not our missionaries that Don was talking about. It's each one of us. Where God places us, we're ambassadors for God. The Bible says, and this is where we're primarily going to be this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Notice this. We are therefore what? Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We look at verse 19, and it tells us that God has committed to us. God, are you sure about that? Yes, he is. Jesus told us in the Great Commission. The Bible tells us that God has committed to us the message of reconciliation. He's committed it to us. So if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is your message too. It's your calling. It's your ministry. It's the ministry of this church. God has called us to share with others this message of reconciliation. But what does reconciliation mean? It means to be made right. When we reconcile with someone in a relationship, we're making things right with them. Here's the thing, in Christ Jesus, when we were apart from God because of our sin, because of Jesus, we were made right. We were reconciled to God. And so in verse 20, Paul says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So you have to let that truth sink in. Every single day, wherever God leads us, wherever we go, whatever state we might be in, whatever part of the world, whatever part of some village we might be in, God calls us, each one of us, to be ambassadors. He's committed to us this message of reconciliation. You see, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. God, we should know exactly who we are. So when you think about this question that I asked you earlier, who do you think you are? Well, one of the things that you truly are is in your new identity in Christ, you're an ambassador. If you're a Christian, that's who you are, an ambassador sent by God. Just a simple definition of an ambassador. Most of us get this. There's other definitions for an ambassador, but an official envoy, often of the highest rank, accredited to a foreign government or sovereign, representing their own government or appointed for a special diplomatic mission. As you know, the United States has a good number of ambassadors. And when all those positions are filled, it's probably around 200. But I want you to really grab a hold of this, because in a lot of ways, it'll knock your socks off. Paul is saying, you got to understand this. Who are you? You're the highest ranking diplomat sent to represent the kingdom of God wherever you go. You see, when you know who you are, you'll know what to do. And the truth is, the Bible says you're an ambassador for God. Every day, wherever God places you, wherever God leads you, you're an ambassador for God. Here's another thing. You were not elected by people, but you were chosen and appointed by God. It wasn't a popularity contest that you became an ambassador for God. Even Jesus got this. I mean, he reminds us in John 15, verse 16, this is Jesus speaking. You did not choose me, but I chose you and what? Appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Peter wrote it this way in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful, wonderful light. An ambassador for God, not elected by people, but appointed by God, chosen and appointed to do what? To bear fruit, to represent him, to be an ambassador. You know, one of the things, favorite things for me in school growing up was when the teacher wanted one of the students to run a special errand. I wasn't the greatest student in school. I got better as I went along and realized that it's pretty important to do well in school. But in junior high and high school, I was there for a lot of fun, social things, sports, all that kind of stuff. And so whenever the teacher wanted somebody to run an errand for them, the teacher would give you a hall pass. And so the teacher would say, who wants to run an errand for me in the class? Ooh, ooh, pick me, pick me, they'd say to the teacher. And when I got picked, it was a great thing. Because I knew when I went to run that errand, I would miss the rest of the class time. I'd get my hall pass. Don't follow my example or tell your great-grandchildren these stories. Why do I say things like this? You just have to understand my background, and God's done some great things in my life, and the rest of the world to do. But I'd get my hall pass, strut out of the room, and I'd walk by all the classrooms that I knew my friends were in. The doors would be open. We were here in Arizona. I'd walk by all the classrooms with my hall pass, showing my friends that I had the hall pass. Teachers would ask me, you know, they'd see me, why aren't you in class? I'd show them my hall pass and go a special errand, you know, for so-and-so, whatever the teacher was. I missed the entire class time. Sometimes I never even ran the errand. The teacher asked me to do. But I just whip out my hall pass and just tell everybody that, hey, I was chosen for a special mission here. The point is here, for each one of us, we've been appointed and chosen by the master teacher. His name is Jesus. And we have a special mission. God's committed to us this message of reconciliation. You know, Paul wrote the words in 2 Corinthians, these words that we looked at, or that we're looking at here today. He saw himself as an ambassador. In fact, shortly after Paul came to know Christ, it said, the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man, speaking of Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel. I will show them how much he has suffered for my name. One of the things about being an ambassador is sometimes there's suffering that comes with it. Some of the work Jesus suffered, we as his people, sometimes as ambassadors, as these new creations in Christ Jesus, sometimes we will suffer as well. Here's one of the last things I want to share with you here today. You never represent yourself. You always represent God. So being an ambassador for God, don't have the attitude like I did starting in the hallway. Hey, I'm an ambassador for God. It would get a knock to it, you know? I didn't, but you might, you know. You're an ambassador for him. But the thing is, you're not representing yourself. You're not sent out daily to promote your own agenda, your own ideas, or to toot your own horn, whatever that means. Instead, you're daily sent by God to represent him, his love, his agenda. The thing is, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's never about us. Here's what Jesus, the ultimate ambassador, said in John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And that's a great thrust we approach each and every day, God, what's your will? May I do the will that you send me out to do today? And so, as ambassadors for Jesus, we are sent out daily in his authority. Jesus told us in John 20, or Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So here's the thing. Here in 2025, as a church, as individuals, with our new identity in Christ Jesus, we have ambassador work and mission work to do that we've been called to. He's committed to us this message of reconciliation. And let me look at verse 21 together as we wrap up. God made him who had no sin. God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What's Paul talking about there? He's saying on the cross, God's one and only Son, Jesus, he took your place. In our sins, we're the ones that should have been there. But he took our place. He became our substitute. Why did Jesus do that? Out of obedience and sacrifice and such love. He did it because it mattered so much to him that we be reconciled to God, that we might become right with God. So this Bible tells us that Jesus was wounded and he died for our sins so that we might actually become the righteousness of God. You see, when we trust Jesus with our lives, when it becomes the most significant part of our lives, the Bible says there is an exchange that is made. Our sin for his righteousness. And I always say, you're never going to find a better deal than that. Our sin for his righteousness. You need to take that. You see, when you know who you are, what? You'll know what to do. And if you're a Christian, you're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you were not elected by people, but rather you were chosen and appointed by God. And you never represent yourself, but you always represent our Lord. You represent the King and the kingdom, the godly nation that sent you. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And that makes your role and my role, our assignment from God, an incredibly important role. Because remember, we're highest ranking diplomats, ambassadors sent by God. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are collectively. Ambassadors for God, yes, here in Sun Village, but even beyond that. When you know who you are, you'll know what to do. How many of you remember? I think all of you in this room, I think, were born before 1980. I barely got in under 1980, but I need to say, 1961. What was the 1980 United States hockey team known for? And don't talk, I was afraid someone might say they played hockey. Yeah. They were known what? For the Miracle on Ice. What they beat? Yeah. At that time, it was the Soviet Union. It was truly a miracle. It was a miracle on ice. They ended up receiving the gold medal, and that all took place in 1980 in Lake Placid, New York. And they were coached by Herb Brooks. He was a tyrant. He really was. He was tough. You know, back in the day, coaches could be tough. I kind of like that, you know? But they could be tough. But in one particular practice,
and in the movie Miracle, and I've seen that,
in one particular practice, he was having to skate back and forth, and they were just totally exhausted, falling down, and he was still asking more of them. But along the way, he kept asking them their name. They give their name and the state that they were from. It's not what the coach was looking for. And they continue to go back and forth at night, dropping to exhaustion. Until finally, Herb Brooks asked, remember Mike Ruzzioni? Remember that name? He asked him, who do you play? You know what he said? He gave his name. He said, I play for the United States of America. And Herb Brooks said, practice is over. That's what he wanted. They weren't playing as individuals. They were playing as a team representing the United States of America. You see, for the United States hockey team, their goals were never going to be realized until they answered that question, who do you play for? And when they got it right, when it really sunk in, who they represented and who they were playing for, the world witnessed the miracle. So I want to ask you as I close this message, who do you play for? Who do you play for? Are you playing this game of life solely for yourself? Or are you playing this game of life for God? A godly nation, a God who so loves us. You're playing for God's team, for God's glory. We're ambassadors for God. And you see, I truly believe that as Christians, when we get this more and more right, when we know really who we are and who we're playing for and who we represent, the world will continue to witness more and more miracles. Well, what kind of miracle? The miracle that Paul's talking about. The miracle of seeing people reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Church, God has committed to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Herb Brooks made this statement to the team. This cannot be a team of common men. Because common men go nowhere. You have to be uncommon. Church, because of Jesus, we're not common. We've been made uncommon. We have places to go, things to do. There are greater things that God has in store for our church, which leads me right into the message series that I'm going to start next week. I think your bulletin calls it Greater Thing. Hey, it's not greater thing, it's greater things.